Bantam Doubleday Dell Audio Publishing presents Star Wars Iron Fist, Book 6 of the X-Wing series by Aaron Alston. He had probably been born human, but now mechanical limbs replaced his right arm and both legs, and the upper right portion of his bald head was a shiny metal surface with a standard computer interface. He approached the members of Wraith Squadron as they sat crammed into their booths, and with neither threat nor comment, he snatched a wine bottle from the next table over and brought it down on Runt Equish's head. Runt, the furred alien with a long, big-toothed face, slumped in his seat. Kel Tanner, seated opposite Runt, scrambled to his feet and came up in a sidekick that caught the cyborg under his chin and lifted him, slamming him to the bar's floor. The cyborg pulled himself up, reached into the next booth past bar patrons who shrieked and ducked away, and yanked free the table bolted to the floor. He hauled it backward, then swung it faster than any human could manage. But Kel ducked forward, rolled under the table, came up on his feet a mere handspan in front of the cyborg, and planted one, two, three blows in his attacker's gut. The cyborg staggered backward, and Kel lashed out with a foot, kicking the table from his fingers. The other bar patrons seemed to settle on a consensus. They held back and began putting down bets. Commander Wedge Antilles, the squadron's leader, nodded over the wisdom of that choice. Then the bar was filled with uniforms, a stream of men and women pouring in the main entrance, dressed in the distinctive outfit of New Republic Military Police. The squadron medic, Tom Fainan, the man with the mocking manner, well-trimmed beard and mustache, and prosthetic plate over the left side of his head, held a small vial full of liquid under Runt's nose. The non-human's nostrils flared, and he jerked reflexively, trying to get away from the smell.
"Easy, Runt," he said. "We're about to go somewhere you can relax for a few hours. In the company of some charming people, too, I'll bet."
The military police led them out of the smoke-filled bar into the only slightly less oppressive atmosphere of street-level Coruscant. It was raining, a steady spray of liquid that felt like three-quarters rainwater and one-quarter vehicle lubricant. Tyria Sarkin, the slender woman with a blonde ponytail, grimaced.
"It would be nice to be posted to a clean world next," she said.
Then she saw the military policeman gesturing toward the waiting skimmer, a windowless, slab-sided model used to transport prisoners, and she obligingly followed the other wraiths in that direction. Toward the front, Face Lauren, the once handsome actor whose face was now creased by a livid scar from his left cheek to his right forehead, noted the nameplate on the nearest MP. "Teorum," he said. "That's a Corellian name, isn't it?" The officer nodded.
"I'm from Corellia, born and bred."
Face turned back toward Wedge and smiled.
"Ah, just like our reception committee back on M2398, eh, Commander?"
Wedge managed not to stiffen. The reception committee on the moon of system M2398's third planet had not been made up of Corellians. It had, in fact, been a trap. An invitation to land that turned out to be a fatal ambush. He nodded.
"Just like it, Face. And just like then, you're my wing."
Wedge saw casual little glances exchanged among the wraith, and knew they had all just become alert and ready. Face hadn't been Wedge's wingman on that mission. Face walked a little faster within the crowd of wraiths until he was at the front of the line of prisoners, immediately behind the first pair of military policemen. He reached the rear of the skimmer, nodded at their gesture to board, and struck, slamming his fist into the throat of one MP, jumping on the other. No time to watch things unfold. Wedge heard blaster pistols clearing leather behind him. Wedge grabbed the cyborg, who had been ushered out of the bar with the wraith, and swung around, hauling the startled assailant in position between him and the guards.
Nobody move.
That was Tom Fainan holding the blaster rifle previously owned by one of their captors. That man, Wedge saw, was staggering away, his hands clutching his throat, trying futilely to arrest the tide of blood seeping between and around his fingers. The MPs paused, saw the gun aimed at them, and one by one ceased struggling with the race.
They were now in a debriefing room in Starfighter Command headquarters. A colonel Wedge didn't know was conducting the interview, but Admiral Akbar, commander-in-chief of New Republic Military Operations, was also seated at the interrogator's table. He was a friendly presence, in Wedge's estimation. Face Lauren, his voice in a reasonable tone Wedge knew to be forced, answered, "He didn't walk like a Corellian."
"That's not enough justification to attack someone with proper credentials," the colonel said.
Face stiffened. "Respectfully, sir, it is when I'm correct."
"Don't be preposterous. You can't classify a man's home world just by looking at him."
"Yes, I can, sir." The colonel looked dubious, but without speaking, he stood, walked backward from the table, and then walked back and forth a half dozen paces.
"Hard to say," Face said. "If you had any distinctive walking mannerisms from your home world, you erased it with military training. At Vogel 7, if I'm not mistaken, I'd say that you were injured at some time in the past and had to learn to walk again, or maybe it was a disfigurement at birth, corrected by surgery."
The colonel resumed his seat. Surprise was evident on his face.
"How did you do that?"
"Well, I was an actor. On top of that, I'm trained to recognize, analyze, and assume physical mannerisms. I concluded that the attack in the bar was a deception. The cyborg was trotted out to start the trouble and make an MP arrest look legitimate."
Wedge said, "My guess is that Zinge was behind this attack. We hurt him pretty badly when we destroyed the Implacable."
That ship, an Imperial Star Destroyer, belonged to Admiral Apwar Trigget, a subordinate of the warlord Zinge, who was now the chief enemy and target of the New Republic.
"I'd say that he's figured out who Wraith Squadron is and has decided to make us pay."
Akbar nodded.
"My own conclusion as well."
The colonel closed down his datapad.
"All right. Pending the results of further investigation into this matter, I'm going to release your squadron."
"Thank you, sir," Wedge said. Admiral Akbar came forward.
"I will leave the matter of the protection of your subordinates to you, Commander Antilles. But I do have orders for you. I think you will find them to your liking. They play to the, how would I put it, improvisational strengths of your new squadron."
Wedge smiled.
"Those improvisational strengths are beginning to give me gray hairs, Admiral. But thank you in spite of that."
The Wraiths gathered in the hangar temporarily assigned them as Wedge explained that they had new orders from Admiral Akbar.
"I'll outline those orders at a later date, but right now, I hate to say it, leave is effectively cancelled. I want someone on duty here with our vehicles until we lift for our next assignment, and I want everyone walking around with eyes behind as well as in front. Understood?"
The Wraiths nodded. As the pilots moved their separate ways, Fainan threw his arm over Kel's shoulder and looked at Tyria.
"If you'd excuse us for a moment, I have a few words to say in private to your toy friend."
She gave him an arch look.
"My what?"
"What did I say?" Fainan shrugged.
"A few moments." Tyria shrugged and moved to her X-Wing.
"Did you catch the name of the colonel who conducted our investigation?" Fainan asked.
Kel's scowl turned from irritation to confusion.
"I don't think Commander Antilles mentioned it." "Repness."
Kel glanced over at Tyria, but she had one of her snub fighters' engine ports open and was intent on the machinery within.
"That's the name of the trainer who tried to get Tyria to steal an X-Wing before she joined the race." "The same. He's still training pilots."
Kel took a deep breath. Aton Repness was an instructor for New Republic pilot trainees who were on the verge of washing out of the training program. Kel and Fainan knew that he had secretly altered Tyria's failing grades to make them passable, then tried to enlist her in an effort to steal an X-Wing, and had used the revelation of the grade forgery to blackmail her into silence. You wouldn't have mentioned him if you didn't already have a plan, Kell said. Fainan smiled. Yes, I have a plan. If we wave some bait around in front of him, maybe he'll snap at it. When I was in the hospital on Borlaeus, the patient in the next room was a woman. She had been a prisoner aboard the Implacable, Admiral Trigget's unwilling mistress. She had a whole lot to tell New Republic intelligence about Trigget and his methods. A very observant, intelligent young woman. If we can find her and convince her to help, we could sponsor her pilot training and catch Colonel Retness in his same pathetic tactic. Kell glanced again at Tyria. I'm in. Good. I'll see if I can track her down. Lara Notso is her name. Anticipating Kell's objections, Fainan hastily continued, I won't mention Tyria by name. I can keep her out of the story. Well, all right. Let's keep her out of this end of it, too. A day later, the Wraiths and some new personnel reassembled in the hangar. Face looked over the newcomers with interest. Tallest among them was a human male, on his head an untidy mess of straw-colored hair. Next was a dark-skinned woman with large, alert eyes and a broad smile that suggested that every minute of every day she was thrilled to be alive. The last and shortest was a Twi'lek woman, her features startlingly beautiful by human standards, but her red-eyed stare forbidding. Her brain tails, called leku in the native Twi'lek tongue, hanging loose behind her instead of being draped over her shoulders in the fashion of a Twi'lek among friends and allies. Lots of news today, Wes Jansen said, looking over his datapad. He was, Face saw, his usual eternally youthful and merry self. Most of it good, some bad. He smiled at the chorus of groans that resulted. Runt is fit for duty, which is both good and bad, because some of his personalities enjoy working and some don't. The greatest mental peculiarity of Runt's Saquash race, now well known to the Wraiths, was that most had multiple personalities as a natural part of their mental development. We have new pilots to fill our roster. I present to you Flight Officer Captain Don, our new computer specialist. The blonde-haired man nodded cheerfully. Kasten is a native of Coruscant. Flight Officer Dia Pasek is a native of Ryloth. The Twi'lek woman nodded, looking among the wraiths as if to guess which one would attack her first. Jansen continued, She has experience with a broad variety of New Republic and Imperial vehicles, especially larger space vessels, and knows quite a bit about criminal organization. She's a new resource for us where things like smuggling, the slave trade, and mercenary operations are concerned. Our third pilot is Flight Officer Shala Nelprin. Oh, no, Kell said. I think I've told you all about my hand-to-hand instructor in the commandos, the one who could throw me around as though I were a dust rag without even letting me see her sweat. This is her sister. The new Wraith's smile broadened.
Yes, though I think I'm a little better than Vula.
Jansen said, This should come as no surprise to you, then. Nelprin is going to be our new trainer in unarmed combat. Wedge? Wedge said, Make the new pilots welcome, Wraiths. They're going to put them and you immediately to work on our new mission. Our efforts in tracking Admiral Trigget and insinuating ourselves into his confidence have gone over very well with High Command. We've demonstrated that we have both skill and luck on our side. But now, we have to prove it beyond a doubt. We're going to divide ourselves into three groups. Each group is to ask the following questions. What is Zinj up to? And what are his specific plans and strategies? I'm choosing three of you to head these groups based on your ability with tactical thinking and skill in getting into your enemy's heads. Wedge nodded toward three pilots in turn. Runt, you're Zinj 1. Piggy, you're Zinj 2. Face, you're Zinj 3. Questions? Jansen's hand went up. Are we going to be working with Rogue Squadron on this? Wedge nodded. The Rogues are being assigned to General Solo on Mon Remonda to look for Zinj. Once we get out into the field, we'll work with them as circumstances demand. Gera Petafel rechecked what she hoped would be the final version of her program. A work of art, it was. It would transfer a number of packets of encrypted data from her terminal, deep in the warrens of the city planet of Coruscant, to addresses that would lead eventually to the warlord Zinj. If he's a smart man, she thought, and by all accounts he is, within a few weeks I'll have gainful employment again, away from this cesspool and away from the rebel police and intelligence agents. A heavy knock fell on the door. As she rose to answer, she glanced into the mirror to make sure she looked the part she was supposed to be playing. Her downy, white blonde hair, cut very close, still seemed odd to her, as was the absence of a mole she had secretly had removed when preparing this identity. No, no one should recognize her in the time it would take her to leave. She opened the door. Two New Republic pilots stood outside. One had saturnine features and a prosthetic faceplate over the upper left half of his face, a red glow where his left eye would have been. The other would have been startlingly handsome, but his face was marred by a puckered scar running from his left cheek to his right forehead. She knew the one with the faceplate, and it was he who spoke first. Lara Nutso. Yes, it's Lieutenant Fainan, isn't it? From the hospital in Borlaeus. Please, come in. Actually, it's just Flight Officer Fainan, her visitor said. The smart one here is the lieutenant, Garrick Loren. She froze in mid-handshake and gave the other pilot a closer look. The face? You're still alive. Face gave her a smile. That's me. I get that a lot. No, the story of my death was a sort of propaganda thing cooked up by the Empire to make people think the Rebel Alliance was full of evil people who'd kill a child actor. I'm a pilot these days.
How did you find me?
Fainan sat. We ran a search on the WorldNet looking for your name. You're working as an information processor for a shipping concern?
Yes.
It pays, she gestured at the tidy squalor around her,
for all this.
Face said, how would you like a better job and the chance to live in better conditions?
I'd like that. What would I have to do?
Go through New Republic pilot training, the full academy course.
No thanks, Gera thought. How would you like to get me a ticket to Warlord Zinj's fleet instead?
But she had to play her role.
That would be nice, but it can't happen.
Face gave her another smile, this one full of confidence.
Why not?
Gera injected a note of wistfulness into her voice.
Since I've been associated with Admiral Triggett, the New Republic wouldn't trust me.
She shrugged fatalistically.
They cleared you. You were never charged with any crime.
She nodded. And what work it had been to generate the Lara Nutsil identity, carefully planning ahead just in case her employment with Triggett didn't work out. Hooking her new identity to a real event, Triggett's punitive bombardment of a farm community that had refused to provision him. Finding and modifying the pitiful few records concerning a farm girl whose body was now a carbonized mass of powder in a charred Aldivian grain field, replacing key bits of data with Gera's. Spinning a tale of secret chambers on the implacable. Secret, so other implacable survivors could plausibly not have known about her, where Triggett imprisoned her, his unwilling mistress. They'd accepted it, the whole package, especially eager for the scandalous details of her captivity and Triggett's evil. Lies she'd been happy to offer out of her anger at the man. Triggett had been willing to sacrifice an efficient and loyal crew in an obviously futile attempt to keep his vessel invidious out of New Republic hands. But this whole Lara Nutsil identity had only one purpose, to get her out of New Republic hands and back to Imperial service, or service that would someday be acknowledged as Imperial. She shook her head.
I don't think I can help you.
Then she frowned.
Wait, what would I be doing for you?
Fainan leaned forward.
Ah, that's the tricky bit. We want you to struggle a bit with your pilot training. Skirt along at the bottom of your class. We think someone will come to you and offer to help train you, improve your scores, and then want to use your pilot's skills in a deal,
some sort of illegal operation.
You're setting this person up. I would be bait.
Face nodded. She shook her head.
And then the idea hit her, detonating in her mind like a proton torpedo. A plan, a simple one, one that would increase her worth in the eyes of Warlord Zinj or any Imperial officer to whom she wanted to sell her services. She began to cry. A useful talent, that, being able to cry on cue. Her teachers at Imperial Intelligence had been delighted by it.
I can't do it,
she said.
I'll lose everything.
Fainan took her hands. What will you lose? What could you lose?
If I do what you say, if I go through pilot's training, it'll wake up an old wish. And the only thing I'll want is to be a pilot. And then if I set this man up and ruin him, everyone everywhere will say, that's Lara Nutzel, the traitor. No one will want me. Everyone will think I'm spying on them. I'll have terrible scores from doing exactly what you wanted me to do, so the civilian piloting services won't have anything to do with me. So you two want me to trade my entire future for a little piloting training. Well, thanks for the offer. There's the door.
Wait, Face leaned forward. What if we could guarantee you a piloting station, somewhere you'd be accepted for your skills, where the consequences of this operation play in your favor instead of against you?
What commander would take me on as a pilot?
What if it were Wedge Antilles? She paused. She already knew her answer, but they had to think she was considering it. Finally, she said,
if it were Wedge Antilles' command, either Rogue Squadron or that new one, Wraith Squadron, then, yes, I'd do it.
I'll talk to him today. Face rose and Fainan followed suit. I'll let you know as soon as I have an answer from him.
Wedge stood so fast that his chair slammed back into his office wall.
You promised her. What?
Fainan and Face were already standing. Face said,
we promised her nothing, except that we'd look into it.
Wedge considered that.
If you carry out this little operation, Kraken's people in intelligence may decide they don't care for us very much, for intruding on their territory.
Fainan nodded. That's a possibility. But I know how we can do this without even alerting anyone that it's a Wraith operation. Scowling, Wedge finally resumed his seat.
All right, you two. I'll give you this. If she carries out this operation, I'll consider her for transfer to one of my squadrons. And I'll base my acceptance or refusal of her completely on my own evaluation of her skills and her character.
Well, that's the best we could hope for, Fainan said.
Thank you, sir.
Dismissed. When they'd gone, Wedge said to the empty air,
they're doing it to me again.
It looked just like the bridge of the Iron Fist, but it was actually a portion of Warlord Zinj's private quarters, a replica of the true bridge. The viewports were actually screens receiving holocam views from the real viewport. Warlord Zinj moved among the ghosts, stations, peering over the shoulders of imaginary crewmen as if to evaluate their performance. A small man, whose waist outperformed his chest in dimension and magnificence, his spotless white uniform was that of an Imperial Grand Admiral, while his bald head, luxurious mustache, florid complexion, and too cheerful manner suggested a backwater bandit. He bent over the back of a chair and leaned closer to see the name of the crewman logged onto the computer.
Ah, Ensign Spricken, he said. Running attack simulators again while on duty. Shirking your responsibilities.
Perhaps he wants to become a pilot.
The voice, smooth and reassuring, came from behind Zinj. The warlord straightened and turned.
General Melvar, what have I told you about creeping up behind me?
The general, a tall man with features that were elegant when he was paying attention, but impossibly bland and unmemorable when he lost concentration, smiled.
Not to.
What do you want?
The general handed him a datapad.
A private communication for you.
Zinj scanned the text.
Lieutenant Gera Pettifel expects to be a member of one of Antilles' squadrons within a few weeks. Would you be interested?
I see she has a fine sense of irony. What do you have on her?
I put her file in there with the communique. In short, she's an Imperial intelligence prodigy who joined Trigget's crew and was presumed dead when the Implacable was destroyed.
Oh, she's that one. So, she eluded capture. Or perhaps not. Perhaps she was captured, then turned, and is being used to flush us.
Zinge handed the datapad back.
Pursue this. Verify what she's saying. Find out what identity she's currently wearing. Once that's determined, we must find out where her loyalties lie before we commit any real resources to her.
Done.
The evaluations of the three Zinge theories have come back from Admiral Akbar's office, Wedge said.
They were in the briefing room temporarily assigned to Wraith Squadron.
Before I get to the Admiral's conclusions, Wedge continued, I think we ought to let the writers of the three reports synopsize their conclusions. Not everyone has heard these. Runt?
The long-faced alien looked up.
The Warlord's overt and covert tactics suggest that he will continue the expansion of the secret financial empire whose edges we detected. And a more direct appeal to the unaligned governors that previously belonged to the Empire and now belong to the Empire's successors.
And your recommendations for ways to counter this?
Examine the resources of unaligned governors. Find out which ones would best serve Zinge to court and cause that governor problems only Zinge can solve, luring him to that system and confronting him directly.
Piggy? The Gamorrean stood. His voice emerged both as incomprehensible grunts and as electronic words, the latter being emitted by a nearly invisible speaker implanted in his throat.
During the last few weeks, as we were nibbling at the edges of Zinge's organization, we learned of his attempt to hire a pirate nest, made up of outlaws somewhat under his usual standards. My group feels that we would have the greatest chance of discovering Zinge by disguising ourselves as a pirate band and trying to impress Zinge enough for him to employ us. This would keep us in close association with starfighters and play to the strengths that I think we demonstrated in the pursuit of Admiral Trigget and the Implacable.
Well put, Piggy. Face? I think the Iron Fist is of tremendous importance to Warlord Zinge, not just as a powerful weapons platform, but also as a symbol, both of his career and his power. If Warlord Zinge were more like us than he were like himself, I think he'd make a strike on the Kuat Drive Yard's building facilities and steal the next Super Star Destroyer in production. Wedge gave him a look of amusement. That presupposes that Kuat is working on another Super Star Destroyer. They're horribly expensive, and even though they can do an incredible amount of damage, they can be destroyed by a much less expensive enemy force. Though usually at a tremendous cost of life. Face nodded. Correct, but Zinge doesn't admit anyone is his equal in military intelligence, so he thinks he can keep it intact. Wedge nodded. All right. As I said, Admiral Akbar has evaluated these theories and made a decision. He's asking intelligence to step up any operations involving Kuat Drive Yards to find out if, in fact, they are building a new superstar destroyer. For us, he wants to combine both Runt's and Piggy's ideas. We'll be founding our own pirate band, and then assaulting a planetary system that Zinge is courting. Impress him enough with our tactics for him to employ us, and then draw him into a confrontation. Officially, we'll be assigned to Mon Raymonda with Rogue Squadron. Funny, though, the other pilots will never see us in the ship's corridors. We have a little reorganization to do to accommodate our new pilots. Flight Officer Don, you're now Wraith 2 and my wingman. Wes, you're now Wraith 3 with Diapasic, Wraith 4, your wing. Kel, Runt, you're still 5 and 6. Fainan, Face, still 7 and 8. I'd hate to break up the best comedy team this side of the janitor's closet. I love an understanding commander, Thanan said. Know where I can get one? Mindona, still 9. Flight Officer Nopran, you're his wing, Wraith 10. Piggy, you're still Wraith 12. And Tyria, you're now on his wing as Wraith 11. I lead Group 1, Face leads Group 2, and Donos leads Group 3. Intelligence gives us a good candidate for our new piratical occupation. The world is called Holmad. It's an outer rim world not far from the loose border to what we consider Zinj-controlled space. Kel asked, do we get the Nightcrawler back? Wedge shook his head. Think about it. Admiral Trigget is destroyed by a covert fighter squadron supported by a Corellian corvette. And then a pirate squadron pops up, supported by a Corellian corvette. Well, that would probably set off at least one alarm bell in Zinj's mind. He gave Kel a grim smile. No, we'll receive hyperspace transport from an old Zytiar-class transport. Thanan's hand shot up. Do we get new snub fighters? Wedge shook his head. No, we're stuck with what we have and what we can seize. Part of our assignment involves acquiring new fighter craft for our pirate identities, and that means stealing whatever we can get our hands on. From the imps and from the warlords, that is. For now, you have only a little while to pack and settle your affairs. Our transport takes off for Holmad in 3 hours. He ignored the chorus of groans and cheers. Dismissed. Hawkback Base. Headquarters of Wraith Squadron's new pirate identity was situated on a large spherical rock deep in the asteroid belt of the Holmad system. The asteroid had a thick outer shell of stone and a center made up mostly of cooled nickel and iron. Now, when approached by spacecraft, the asteroid still seemed deserted, for its thick stone sheath was sufficient to block sensors from detecting the life forms and vehicle emissions now within it. Halfway down the main shaft, where the side shaft was broadest and tallest, was the hangar area, where the Hawkbat's vehicles rested. There were 2 TIE fighters and 5 TIE interceptors, and the biggest vessel on site, a Zytiar-class freighter named Sungrass. From its bridge, Wedge Antilles turned his attention to his wraiths, visible through Sungrass's forward viewports. They were hard at work, painting the 5 interceptors they'd stolen from an Imperial base on Holmad. Good men and women in a brief respite from making war. Wedge wished such respites were the norm. The X-Wings of Wraith Squadron made one pass before the bridge of the Mon Calamari cruiser, waggling S-foils as a show of respect, then curved around smartly and lined up in pairs for their approach to the vessel's portside landing bay. Wedge and his temporary wingman, Face, settled onto the first pair of landing zones, facing the crowd that had gathered there and brought their canopies up in unison. Rogue Squadron stood before them, arrayed as precisely as a firing squad. In front of the line of pilots was General Han Solo, uncomfortable-looking in his New Republic uniform, his expression a cocked smile that had to be from relief at seeing Wedge. Wedge approached Solo and threw a precise salute. Commander Wedge Antilles and Wraith Squadron reporting for duty, sir. Solo's return salute was far less military. Welcome aboard, Mon Raymonda. Let's get the rest of your pilots in so I can get out of this torture suit. On the walk down from the hangar to the officers' quarters, Solo filled Wedge in on some pertinent facts. We've been cruising at the theoretical borders of so-called Zinj-controlled space, and we've assembled data on probable movements of Iron Fist, hoping to determine her home port or predict her next destination. So far, we're not having much luck on that front, though we're pursuing data and leads as aggressively as we can. You might actually want to pursue leads a little less aggressively than that. If Zinj is planting any of the leads you're following, he may be building up a profile of how Mon Raymonda responds to leaked information. Once he has a reliable profile in place, he can drop the exact type and quantity of information to lead you into the kind of trap not even a cruiser like this comes out of. Solo whistled. Good point. If you'd like, I can have my intelligence specialist, Shala Nelprin, analyze the data you've been getting and your responses to it to see if you're exhibiting any sort of pattern. I'll have it sent to the terminal in her quarters. Solo looked serious and intent, and now seemed the officer his uniform said he was. Face was just getting settled into the quarters he'd be sharing with Mindonos when his comlink blipped. It was Wedge's voice. When he arrived in Wedge's quarters, his commander was scowling over a datapad. The Lara Nutso situation seems to be resolved. She appears to have dropped the heavy end of the hammer on Colonel Repness, without indicating in any way that this was a setup.
Sir?
I just received her record, because she has put in applications for transfer to Rogue Squadron or Wraith Squadron. According to this document, Repness attempted to recruit her to his unit of black market thieves. She refused. He assaulted her and had her drugged out of commission, a prisoner in the infirmary. But Nutso seems to have arranged it to look like a mysterious code slicer caught Repness's activities and recordings and forwarded them to intelligence. Intelligence moved in and seized Repness before any further harm could come to her. Face thought that over. But if she otherwise kept to the plan, then her scores would probably not let her graduate. Right. According to this, when she was recuperating from Repness's attack on her, she told her commanding officer that deciding to oppose Repness had settled some problems she'd had, some issues remaining from the destruction of the colony where she'd grown up. She insisted on a chance to demonstrate those changes. She went through an accelerated training regimen and vaped it. Her efficiency profile puts her within the range suitable for inclusion in my units. I'm glad to hear it. She has been assigned, and this is fitting, Colonel Repness's personal X-Wing. So I'll be bringing her into Wraith Squadron to help boost our complement of snub fighters. Gera Pettifer has just been assigned to Wraith Squadron, which is aboard Mon Raymonda, said General Melvar. He and the warlord were alone in Iron Fist's officer's lounge. Zinj leaned forward.
But that's perfect. Arrange for her to give us Mon Raymonda's course and schedule. We'll destroy it and General Solo and those most annoying X-Wing units.
The problem is we're not yet in contact with her. We've been able to follow her, but haven't yet approached her. Zinj merely blinked at him. His expression said,
"How nice that you have a problem. Now solve it."
"So we found one of her relatives. The relative will make contact for us."
"A relative of Gera Pettifer?"
"No. Of Lara Nutso, the woman whose identity she took. He was supposed to be serving time in a jail in his hometown."
"So, you recruited him?"
"He'll be transmitting a message saying, 'I'm alive, understand you are the same,' with enough subtext that she'll have no problem figuring out what's going on."
"Good. Be speedy with this, Melvar. I want Mon Raymonda off my trail as soon as possible. Its continued existence threatens to be very expensive to me."
The world shown on the briefing room's holoprojector circled around a yellow star, notable only for its averageness. Wedge on the dais gestured to a tiny spot on the world's surface. "This is the world Lavisar, and this point is its chief port city, Siwad. Although the world is just outside what we think of as Zinj-occupied space, a recently captured transmission, which our intelligence people have decrypted, indicates that there is a Raptor unit in Siwad." The Raptors were Zinj's elite enforcement units. Better trained and better equipped than Imperial stormtroopers, they were the most commonly seen and recognized symbol of Zinj's power.
"So, what is the plan?"
asked Caldera, Rogue Squadron's Twi'lek pilot.
"Aerial strike, commander strike, or a combination of the two?"
"Maybe neither. Shala, let's have your report." Shala stood apparently a little nervous under the scrutiny of the rogues. "I did an analysis of the way Mon Raymonda and her task force have been responding to various outside stimuli. This was against the possibility that Zinj has been leaking information to gauge our responses. And although there is some variation in response time, this task force shows a pretty consistent set of responses.
And predictability, said Rogue Corin Horn, gets you killed.
Wedge smiled a hard-edged smile.
Now, let's make the situation even worse. Intelligence reports are very sketchy, but indicate that in at least 5 of the sites this task force has attacked in recent sorties, raptor movements have drastically increased and been quite public immediately after the sorties. Anyone want to hazard a guess as to why?
The Rogue's executive officer, Nawara Venn, raised a hand.
If Zinj wants to lead us around and gauge our responses, he has to do so by giving up targets for us to attack. But if he were planting evidence that sites that didn't belong to him actually did,
Tyria said, then we'd be assaulting sites he wouldn't particularly mind being hit.
Nawara gave her a close look. Even worse, if there were planets and facilities he'd been trying to add to his empire by diplomacy but failing, our attacks would have knocked down their defenses drastically.
Face put his hand on his head to quell a sudden threatening headache.
You're saying that the task force has been doing his work for him, all in the name of running down every lead?
Wedge nodded.
Very possibly. Further examination of available data on Lavisar's central library computer indicates that the population has a strong independent streak, which accounts more than anything else for its continued lack of interest in joining the new alliance or Zinj, or rejoining the Empire, which lost control of the planet after the Emperor's death. So, our task is to respond to this stimulus, these clues of Zinj's presence that he plants, without doing Zinj's work for him, and without setting ourselves up for Zinj's inevitable trap. Hobby, this was your idea.
The mournful-faced second-in-command of the Rogues stood uneasily.
Zinj has every confidence that we can penetrate standard planetary defenses and get our snub fighters and support crews to the surface. We generally do. So my idea was to send down a ground crew to Lavisar, plant a bomb on the side of their main sensor station, and set it off. But it won't work. The bombs won't destroy the emplacement. The emplacement will keep full sensors. Lavisar will send up their forces, and we'll turn tail, having been repelled by the mighty defenders of Lavisar. That got laughter from most of the pilots.
Rogue Squadron doesn't run, said Corin Horn, deadpan, unless we really, really have to. That got more laughter.
No, said Wedge. This will be Wraith Squadron's mission.
We don't mind running, Faith said, even when we don't have to.
More importantly, Wes continued, we need to establish that Wraith Squadron is indeed on Mon Raymonda. Every chance we get, we have to support the deception that we're here all the time. So, hold on, here's someone I want you to meet.
The door at the back of the briefing chamber finished hissing up and open. Face recognized Lara.
Wedge continued. Rogues, Wraiths, I'd like to introduce you to Lara Notso, newest pilot in Wraith Squadron. She hasn't seen any action yet, but she's already brought down a New Republic black market ring. That's a pretty good start.
Over the other pilot's applause, Lara settled in beside Face.
Wedge waved to return everyone's attention to him. Back to Lavisar, the subject at hand. We'll be sending down an intelligence team, members of Rogue Squadron, to plant our dud of a bomb, and to stay there after our task force leaves the area. We're going to take Shala's analyses and present them to the planetary governor. Try to persuade him that Zinj was setting him up, and that we, in our pragmatic mercifulness, let him go. Maybe he'll be grateful. Maybe he'll side with the New Republic. Second best would be him remaining with the Empire, but as a confirmed enemy of Zinj. The squadron's senior staff will be putting together the mission profile. Questions? No? And that's all.
Lara Notso headed toward her X-Wing. She waved at various Wraith and Rogue pilots who acknowledged her with waves of their own and shouts of encouragement. She didn't know what to make of them or how they were reacting to this mission. The mission itself made perfect sense. Let Zinj jump to the wrong conclusion that they'd fouled up and been driven off. What was different, what was wrong, was the lack of disappointment among the Wraiths. Admiral Triggett's TIE fighters would have been relentlessly unhappy about the restrictions against unnecessary elimination of the enemy. How can you reach the rank of ace, establish a name, gain fame as a fighter pilot without killing the enemy? But these rebel pilots took the restriction in good grace, and their relaxed attitude about it seemed to be genuine. That, more than anything, bothered her about this unit.